Well, Davy, you stole my clothes and hem. And you know, we say often that you got the right message for this evening. Well, as we continue on, you'll see. Could we start by Psalm 103 and verse 15? Psalm 103 and verse 15. As for man, his days are as grass, and as a flower of a field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall it know no more. The psalmist here states that a person's lifetime passes as quickly as the grass, and flowers which spring up and wither and are blown away with the wind. In James chapter 4 and verse 13, James chapter 4 and verse 13, go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even as a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. Here we see that James states that a person's lifetime passes like a vapor. That's like steam which comes out of the vents in a kettle and then disappears into the air. Then James also states that people live their lives by making plans to conduct future business, not realizing that their time is in God's hand, and that it is according to God's will if they should live to complete their plans. We can see an example of this rule in Luke chapter 12 and verse 16. Luke chapter 12 and verse 16. Luke chapter 12 and verse 16, and it's the Lord speaking. The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully, and he thought within himself, saying, what will I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall the things be which thou hast provided? Thy fool, this night shall thy soul be required of thee. Then whose shall be the things which thou hast provided? Here we see that the rich man is prospering so well that he plans to build larger barns, then to retire, party, and enjoy his life. But God said unto him, thy fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall these things be which thou hast provided? And here we see that all the fruits of the rich man's labour is left to someone else, because he cannot take it with him. And Psalm 53 verse 1 states that the fool have said in his heart, no God. And we see that God calls the rich man a fool because he lived his life without any thought of God. As so do most people in this time in which we live in. Recently, I've been thinking about time. I've been thinking about time, and particularly lifetime, and the brevity of life. I have lived myself now for 61 years, and I'm now approaching 62. And in my lifetime, I have seen the passing of both sets of my grandparents, and with all their generation. Also the passing of both my parents, and with a good part of their generation, and also many of my own generation. And it soon will be that I will know more people who have died than those who are alive. When I was in my teens, I would have thought of being 61 years old as of being very old. And now that I am 61, I don't feel old at all. And people in their late 70s and their 80s would consider being 61 as being young. So age is relevant. And now I've come to realise that my 61 years have passed, and they've passed like no time at all. And as James states, that your life is even a vapour that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. And most people live their lives without any thought of God or eternity, or of heaven, or of hell. And many think that when they die, that death will be the cessation of their existence. But the Lord states in Luke chapter 16 and verse 19, if we turn to Luke 16, the Lord states in Luke 16 and verse 19 that there was a certain rich man. This is a different rich man than the foolish one that built the barns. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously. I love that word, sumptuously. We fared sumptuously today. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which led at his gate full of sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now is he comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou would send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abram saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abram, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Here we see in this account of the rich man and Lazarus that the Lord informs us that death does not bring the cessation of our existence. The Lord pulls back as the curtain, as it were, the curtain of eternity, and gives us a glimpse into the hereafter. For the rich man's body was in the grave, but his soul and spirit were in hell and in torments. And this makes me think of those people who say that they would rather be in hell than in heaven, because their view of heaven is a boring place, but in hell they could take a drink and party with their friends and enjoy themselves. But this was not the rich man's experience, for he states that he is tormented in this flame. But Lazarus was comforted in Abraham's bosom. Here we see that the Lord gives us a glimpse into the life after death, and that death is not cessation of existence, as many choose to believe. The rich man in hell and in torment of flame makes two requests to Abraham. Firstly, that he would send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. I find this request strange. Strange because how would the rich man, now being a disembodied soul and spirit, be able to taste water? And also, if he had been able to taste a drink of water, what good of any would the wet tip of Lazarus's finger have been to him? The rich man's second request to Abram was that he would send Lazarus to his five brothers to warn them not to come into this place of torment. In this request that Abram sent Lazarus to warn his five brothers not to come in to this place of torment, we see the rich man's resignation. His resignation that there is no escape from torment and hell for him. I don't know about you, but if I was in the rich man's place, I'd be crying out to Abraham, "Abraham, get me out of here." But there is no escape for the rich man. And he has now been there for about 2,000 years in torment and flame. In Matthew chapter 25 and verse 41, the Lord states, "Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into the everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." In this verse, the Lord reveals to us that hell and the everlasting fire is prepared for the devil and his angels. And in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, Peter states that the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, that all should come to repentance. And in Acts chapter 2 and verse 21, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. In these verses, we see that the Lord is telling us that he is long-suffering and not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And if a person repents and says to the Lord that I'm no longer going my own way, and asks the Lord to save them, then the Lord will save them. And like Lazarus, when they die, their soul and spirit will go to heaven. And as we have seen this evening from Matthew chapter 25 and verse 41, that the Lord states that hell and the everlasting fire is prepared for the devil and his angels, and that the Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, and that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. All should repent, whosoever, and whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. All and whosoever includes you and me. There's no one left out. And so we are without excuse if we do not repent and ask the Lord to save us. In Acts chapter 3 and verse 13 we read, "The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his Son Jesus, whom he delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the Just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses." And in Luke chapter 24 and verse 36 we read, "And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them, and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, Why are ye troubled, and why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is myself. Handle me, and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy, and wondered, he said unto them, Have ye here any meat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish, and of an honeycomb. And he took it, and did eat before them. And verse 46, And the Lord said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behoves Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things." And in Acts chapter 1 verse 1 we read that, "The former treatise have I made, O Theopolis, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion, by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God." And verse 9, "And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." In these scriptures, we see that the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified, dead and buried, that God raised him alive the third day, according to the scriptures, and that he appeared in the midst of his disciples and showed them the wounds in his hands and his feet, and he ate broiled fish and honeycomb to prove that he was alive and not a spirit. "And the Lord said unto them, that a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have." And here we see that the risen Lord Jesus Christ is a man of flesh and bone, because he shed his precious blood for us at the place called Calvary. Then the Lord Jesus tells his disciples that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And here we see the reason why we are all here tonight, to preach the gospel, repentance and remission of sins, beginning in Cookstown and through the internet among all nations, according to the Lord's will. This we saw, that the risen Lord was seen of his disciples for 40 days, speaking to them of things pertaining to the kingdom of God, after which they witnessed the Lord being taken up into heaven from the Mount of Olives. The Apostle Paul states in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 8 that we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and present with the Lord. And from this verse we see that when a believer dies, that their soul, that their flesh and body goes into the grave, and their soul and spirit is present with the Lord in heaven, absent from the body and present with the Lord. Then in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 49, Paul states, as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot enter the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall all be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And in Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 16, Paul states that the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. And in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20, Paul tells us that our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. From 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we see that the Lord will return to the air, and the trumpet will sound, and the dead in Christ shall be resurrected out from amongst the dead. And those who are alive in Christ, that is all believers who are alive at that time, shall be caught up together with them in clouds to meet with the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And from 1 Corinthians chapter 1 we saw that as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly, and that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. And we saw in Acts chapter 3 that the risen Lord Jesus Christ has a body of flesh and bone. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 51 we saw that the mystery that we should not all die, but that we should all be changed. That is, the believers whose bodies are in the grave, and the believers who are alive at that time when the Lord returns to the earth, shall all be changed in the twinkling of an eye. And from Philippians chapter 3, verse 3, we see that these bodies shall be fashioned like unto his glorious body, which means that the dead bodies of the dead in Christ shall be resurrected and changed and become bodies of flesh and bone, fashioned like the Lord's glorious body. And their soul and spirit shall be reunited with their bodies. And the believers who are alive at this time, bodies shall also be changed in the twinkling of an eye, and we'll be caught up together in clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. So all believers receive a body of flesh and bone fashioned like unto the Lord's glorious body. because as we saw in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, the flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Then shall all believers be caught up together in plagues to meet with the Lord Jesus Christ in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And these believers all take part in the first resurrection, as we can read off in Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19 and verse 11. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he have on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that ye may eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beast, and the kings of the earth, and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse, and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceedeth out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. Chapter 20 and verse 1. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit, and a great chain in his hand, and he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which was the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more, till 1,000 years should be fulfilled, and after that he must be loosed a little season. And I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads, or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. And such the second death have no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Here we see the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war on the Lord and his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, which deceived them who had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire, burning with brimstone. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceedeth out of his mouth. And all the fowls were filled with their flesh, And here we see the beast and the false prophet cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone, and the kings of the earth and their armies slain by the Lord. Then the fowls of the air feast on their flesh, and an angel comes down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit, with a great chain in his hand, and he lays hold on the dragon, that old serpent, the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more, till 1,000 years should be fulfilled, and after that he must be loosed a little season. Then those who believe and are saved and come through the tribulation, with the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and who had not worshipped the beast, nor his image, nor had received his mark upon their foreheads, nor in their hands, shall live and reign with Christ 1,000 years. And then we see that all believers have taken part in the first resurrection and shall reign with the Lord on the earth 1,000 years. And after that, 1,000 years have expired, that there would be a second resurrection of the unbelieving dead, as we read in verse 5, which states that the rest of the dead live not again until 1,000 years were finished. Revelation 20 and verse 7. And when 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadths of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about, and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven, and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night, forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. In these verses we see the second resurrection, which includes all the unbelieving dead, whose souls will be given a resurrection body. As we read in chapter 20, verse 12, which reads, "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man, according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." And here we see that it does not matter where they died, or how they died, or for how long they have been dead. Their souls will be reunited with their bodies, which will be resurrected and changed. And Scripture does not reveal how their bodies will be changed, but we can see that they will remain in the lake of fire and brimstone forever without being consumed in the fire. They have bodies to last forever that will not be consumed in the fire. And think of the rich man The rich man who has all this time, now 3,000 years and more, being tormented in hell, now to be resurrected and reunited with his body, to be tormented in the lake of fire for all eternity. In Revelation 21 and verse 1, the Apostle John states that, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Here we see a new heaven and a new earth with a holy city, New Jerusalem, in which God himself will dwell with men. That is, all the believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, nor pain. And mankind, that is, all believers, will live forever with God himself. But the unbelievers will dwell with Satan, the false prophet, and the beast in the lake of fire, and be tormented day and night forever and ever. And why? Well, just because of their unbelief. As the Lord Jesus Christ informs us in John chapter 3, verse 16, which reads, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. In these verses, the Lord Jesus Christ explains the gospel message in its simplicity. All who that believe in him are not condemned, they are saved. They shall not perish, but have everlasting life. All who do not believe in him are condemned, and as we have seen from Revelation 20, they will be cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. We started the message this evening by thinking about the brevity of life and how a person's lifetime can pass so quickly. But we have seen from God's word that there is life after death for everyone, and that there is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. And the Lord warns us again from his word, Behold, now is the accepted time, now is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time, now is the day of salvation. 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 2. And now is the time to be saved. Yes, right now, because we have this time, tonight, tomorrow, and the next day may be too late. Because you may hear this very evening, Thy fool, this night, thy soul shall be required of thee. Right now, if you're not saved, then for you now is the time to be saved. Simply repent and ask the Lord Jesus Christ to save you, and he will, the very instant you ask. Repent and ask the Lord Jesus Christ to save you, and he will, the very instant you ask. Amen. So, we'll not sing 231, but just to quote it again. Life at best is very brief, like the falling off a leaf, like the binding of a sheaf, be in time, fleeting days are telling fast, that the die will soon be cast, and the fatal line be passed, be in time. Fair as flowers soon decay, youth and beauty pass away, oh, you have not long to stay, be in time. While God's Spirit bids you come, sinner, do no longer roam, lest you seal your hopeless doom, be in time. Time is gliding swiftly by, death and judgment draweth nigh, to the arms of Jesus fly, be in time. Oh, I pray you count the cost, ere the fatal line be crossed, and your soul in hell be lost, be in time. Sinner, heed the warning voice, make the Lord your final choice, then all heaven will rejoice, be in time. Come from darkness into light, come let Jesus make you right, come and start for heaven tonight, be in time. Bert, would you close in prayer?
Heavenly Father, we thank the Lord for the challenge of this message, Lord, to our souls tonight. The brevity of time was set forth well in the Holy Scriptures.
Amen.
Thy word tells the Lord Jesus Christ, quoted this also, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for I know not the day to bring forth. Yes, Lord, indeed, be in time. The gospel message of God became the night, the Word of God. We escape the Word of God itself as an urgent message, as a message that requires haste to the lost sinner. Because Thy Word tells us, as the point of the man wants to die, but after this the judgment.
Yes.
So Christ once suffered to bear the sins of many. And realize, Lord, not all men will be saved, but all men shall be saved. And we pray, Lord, tonight that somebody who has heard this tonight and are listening to it will realize their lost and lost condition, that's repentance. And come personally and trust the Lord Jesus Christ as his own personal Savior, because He paid the price to celebrate for all men to be saved.
Amen.
This is a faithful saying, with all acceptation that Christ Jesus went the word to save sinners whom I have saved. Therefore, Lord, He gave Himself an answer for all, therefore none need perish, all may live, because the Lord Jesus Christ is dead. Yes, we heard, Lord, tonight of the first resurrection of the righteous,
Amen.
And the second resurrection of the unrighteous.
Amen.
My word makes it very clear there's no general resurrection. There's two different resurrections. And we pray, Lord, tonight for those who are dear lost sinners to realize this, Lord, tonight. And think of the brevity of time. And this has been an urge for our minds very lately. The things that happened in Paris and elsewhere around this world, Lord. We're here today and literally gone tomorrow. And that the Word of God said, arrive in a vapor. The steam of a kettle disappears. When it hits into the air by 4 or 5 feet. Therefore, Lord, life at best is very brief. And we pray, Lord, tonight for sinners tonight to come to the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved to fate eternity. Then, of course, they will have fled from the wrath to come, because judgment is coming.
Yes.
So we thank the Lord, the judge of all the earth, paid the price for it all at the place called Calvary. And He bear our judgment Himself. And we thank the Lord, therefore, He's made it possible for all men to be saved. And our brother Eddie quotes tonight, we thank the Lord for it. The Word of God, He shares quite simply. That whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Amen.
Believe us tonight, with the sinner's word tonight, we pray your blessing with thy great and thy wonderful salvation.
Mm-hmm.
That the Holy Spirit will move on their hearts and their minds, and let them realize they are lost and undone, where they can be saved in a moment of time. Because the Lord Jesus Christ has paid the price for them. Our Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, press in Him, we pray, but thanks for all of this. Amen, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Bert.